For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It is May the 22nd. We are in Shmuel, Perek Tesvav, Chapter 15. And we'll start from... we're up to Tezayin 16, but we'll recap so we have a sense of what we're up to. So Shaul was given the commandment to go and wipe out Amalek. And it was very clear to wipe out everything, not to leave any remnant whatsoever. All people, men, women, children, babies, everybody, and all the animals as well. And also Shmuel warned him to be careful to do this mitzvah correctly. And Shaul went, and he got the people, and he told the Cainites, the descendants of Yisro, to move away from Amalek. But we said back in Pasuk Hey that Shaul came to the city of Amalek, Vayirev Banochal, and he literally means he fought in the valley, which Rashi explains he fought with himself, and he was concerned about killing all these people, and especially killing the animals who didn't do anything wrong. And then he did kill out Amalek. We talked about last week how he essentially did the mitzvah with just a little bit of a shortcoming, but mostly did the mitzvah. We talked about how difficult it must have been to kill all those people, including the babies. He did what Hashem told him to do. However, it says in Pasuk Tes, verse 9, that he had pity, Shaul and the people had pity on Agag and on the best of the animals. And they didn't want to destroy them. Everything else, they destroyed. So then the Navi tells us that the word Hashem came to, the word of Hashem came to Shmuel, saying that he has regretted making Shaul king because he's not listened, and Shmuel cried out to Hashem all night. Shmuel then came to Shaul in the morning, and the battle with Amalek, as we said, took place in the south. That's where Amalek lived. But Shmuel then hears that Shaul went to Carmel, to Har HaCarmel, and he was building a mizbeach over there. So we said we have to talk about why did Shaul go to Carmel. Shmuel tells Shaul, when Shmuel comes to Shaul, Shaul says to him, that he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, I did what Hashem said. We pointed out last week that it does not seem that Shaul has any guilty conscience whatsoever. He thinks he's done the job. And Shmuel says, so then what's the sound? Let's start from Yudalad, 14. What's the sound of this sheep in my ears? For Kol HaBakar, and the sound of the cattle, Ashranuch Yishameh, that I'm hearing. So Shmuel isn't so sure. Shaul was expecting a Mazel Tov, and instead Shmuel is saying, what's the sound of these animals? So Shaul responds, They brought them from Amalek, that the nation had pity on the best of the sheep and the cattle in order to shech to Hashem your God, and everything else we destroyed. So you see from that statement that Shaul's resolve is faltering a little bit. He's not really so clear. He's off balance because he was expecting a Mazel Tov, and instead he's getting questioning. But he does not yet admit any wrongdoing. And we're up to Tezayin now to 16. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul. Shmuel said to Shaul, Heref, wait. V'agida lachan, I will tell you, Esa shadiber Hashem elai halayla, that which Hashem told me this past night. Vayomer lo, daber. Shaul said, I give you permission to speak. Vayomer Shmuel said, Halo im katon ata beinecha. Even if you are small in your own eyes, Rosh Shivtei Yisrael Ata, you are the head of the tribes of the Jews. Vayim Shachacha Hashem Lamelech Al Yisrael. And Hashem has anointed you as king over the Jewish people. This verse refers to Shaul personally. You consider yourself small, but in fact you are the head of the Jewish people. it's also referring to the tribe he comes from. You're from the youngest of the tribes, but in a certain respect, your tribe is actually the greatest of them, according to the Gemara. Although it's true that Nachshon ben Aminadav, the Nazi, the prince of the tribe of Yehuda, was the first to jump into the Yam Suf, but the first Shevet, the first tribe to jump into the Yam Suf of the Red Sea, was Binyamin. And so even though it's true that you are from the smallest of the tribes, the youngest of the tribes, but your tribe also, your Shevet also, is the head of the Jewish people. Clearly Shmuel is telling him that in some respect he did not act, Shaul did not act as the leader, instead he acted as the follower, as the smallest of the people. As we know, Shaul was very humble and never wanted to be king in the first place. It's not what he wanted to do. And here, Shmuel is telling him, you acted like you weren't the king, but you are the king. Pasuk Yechez, verse 18, Vayishlachacha Hashem bedarech, Hashem sent you on a road, on a way. Vayomer, he said, Lech behakaramta eshachatoyim es Amalek, go and destroy, wipe out the sinners, Amalek. Vinilcham tovo, and make wage war with him, ad kalo sum or sum, until you absolutely and utterly destroy them. V'lama lo shamata b'kol Hashem, why didn't you listen to the voice of Hashem? Vatat el hashalol, you flew to the spoils. Vatat harabeinei Hashem, you did the evil in the eyes of Hashem. Vayomer shol el Shmuel, Shol said to Shmuel, Asher shamati b'kol Hashem, that I listened to the voice of Hashem. Vo'eleich baderech asher shlachani Hashem, and I went on the road, on the way, then Hashem said to me, Va'avi et Agog melech Amalek, I brought Agog, the king of Amalek, that's Amalek echaramti, and I wiped out Amalek. Now, who's not talking to whom? Shmuel just said to him, you didn't listen to the words of Hashem. Hashem told you to wipe out Amalek, and you didn't do it. And Shaul says, I did do it. I went on the road that Hashem sent me to go, and I brought Agog, the king of Amalek, and I destroyed Amalek.
He didn't destroy Amalek.
So did he or didn't he?
No, Agag is still alive.
He was supposed to.
Who represents Amalek?
So is Shaul simply blinded? Or is Shaul arguing that you can interpret wiping out Amalek as wiping out the people and sparing the king? Is he not interpreting here? He's saying, I did it. What do you mean I didn't do it? I brought back the king of Amalek and I wiped out Amalek. Those two statements should be contradictory. What do you mean? If you brought back the king, then you didn't wipe out Amalek.
Maybe.
He's saying, I did. I can bring back the king and I can still wipe out Amalek. It's not mutually exclusive. You can do both. Okay, so we know it's not what God told him to do, because Shmuel's going to come back to him and tell him that's wrong. But we have to understand that Shaul was no fool, and Shaul was a great Talmud Chacham, a great sage, as well as a big tzaddik. He was very righteous. And even though we're going to show that he was influenced over here, and that is his fault that he was influenced, but we cannot simply write it off as some weak-willed king who was manipulated by his subjects and he's some sort of one of these, you know, Dr. Seuss type dunce kings who, you know, just gets, you know, we're talking about a brilliant person, and we're talking about a God-fearing person. He must have had a way of rationalizing this that it made sense. Yeah.
But it's a myth from the Torah. I mean, the Talmud Chacham, he would know that the mitzvah.
And he's saying he did it.
Right.
He's arguing, I did the mitzvah. Which means we have to have a way of understanding this in some way of justifying it, even though it was wrong, but it can't be obviously wrong. It's got to be something more subtle than that. How is it that Shaul believes he did it?
He thought he did enough.
Well, how is that? If the Torah says to wipe out Amalek, then I would think if you leave somebody alive, you didn't do it.
It's like Achmanus is telling his place.
Maybe he was about to do it. He was going to hold them up as some kind of,
trophy.
To thank you, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
but even, you know, we've had other instances, Yehuda's in other places. when you cut off his head, you bring it as it's, you don't bring him alive, you bring him dead. You know,
yeah,
cut
okay.
his head and bring his head and
okay.
say, here, we did it.
Okay. When, I had thought that this might be an explanation, really, what Chani said, that this is, he intends to kill him. And this is like the final thing. He's like taking him. when I was a kid playing Little League Baseball, so the year that my team won the championship, I was the first baseman. Mm-hmm. And since you probably, I don't know how many women here are into, you know, follow sports, but I was the first baseman. And the last out was, mm-hmm. they threw the ball to me, and I touched the first base, and that was the last out. And then we won the championship. That was
yeah.
the thing. Right. So when they threw the ball to me, I deliberately stepped away from the base because I wanted to make it really dramatic. Now we're going to win. So I stepped away from the base, and I caught the ball, and I waited until like the last second, and I stamped on the base. Like, we won the championship. Right? So that's what you're suggesting over here.
Yeah.
And he brought back Agag. Like, this is the last of Amalek. Off with his head. We're
right.
done.
Right.
But the problem with that is that it sounds from what Shaul is saying that he did it already. He says, I listened to the word of Hashem, and I went on the road that Hashem told me, sent me, and I brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I wiped out Amalek. He didn't, if you're right, he didn't yet wipe out Amalek. He's
yes.
about, he should say, and I am about
right.
to wipe out Amalek.
Right, right, right.
But
okay.
it doesn't seem that that's the case. It seems like he feels he did it already, despite the fact that the king is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems to be separating Agag, king of Amalek, and Amalek is separate, Hephramzi, so the king would have his own status or something like that, but he feels that it's a different
okay, situation. So one possibility is that the king and the nation are really two separate entities. It's true the king represents the nation represents the king, but the king and the nation are really two separate entities, and even though the king is from Amalek as well, but because he is the king, therefore he represents an entirely different entity. And wiping out Amalek does not include the king. The king is not what Hashem meant when he said to wipe out Amalek. That is possible, that's what Shaul is saying over here, or that's what Shaul believes, and therefore, since I wiped out everybody else, I wiped out Amalek. The yes, you want to say something? Go ahead.
I wonder if whatever Heshbon Shaul is making about the people, he's also made about the animals, and if there isn't something to learn from that, because he was also explicitly instructed to kill every last animal, and he didn't do that, so...
So the animals, he's said before, and he's going to repeat it later, that he brought it as sacrifices.
Right, and he
okay.
uses the same verb, brought, you know, when it comes to Agag, so... He has made exceptions for both the animals and the people, and maybe we can draw the inference that just as he thought it was okay to not listen to Hashem and segregate some of the animals
for a
sacrifice,
right.
that he made the same kind of reckoning, you know, when it came to the king.
Okay, okay.
I'm just pointing out that he failed on in that he excluded.
He failed, period.
In both categories. He says he brought some.
No, no, what does it say about the
animals?
Oh, heavy and they brought, right, they brought the animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So if I can just finish the thought, it's interesting, he says, I brought Otto, but he doesn't say where or to or...
Or for what?
But,
right.
So I'm just wondering if there's a parallel here with bringing the animals as a sacrifice.
Okay.
Maybe he thought that if he killed all the people, that he killed his seed off, that he killed Amalek. That there won't be any way for him to have any...
That works if the king is unable to have children.
Right.
If the king is able to have children,
yes.
then...
Right, it's true.
We're not told that the king is so old that he can't...
Right, but maybe that's what he thought. You know, I killed everybody. I killed all the people, probably the whole family.
Okay.
When Hashem says what to do, back in Gimel, he says, now we completely destroy all that they have. There's also a negative commandment, and spare them not.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Spare them not.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have any mercy.
Don't have any mercy.
Yeah, it says it specifically. Lo sachmo means don't have mercy.
More than just not doing the positives, he's forgetting about
Yes, we agree that he did something wrong, but what I'm pointing out to you is you cannot simply dismiss it as he just did it wrong. We have to understand what his rationalization was, because it has to make sense. Because someone of Shaul's stature doesn't just do things wrong. There's got to be something, a way that he justified what he did, and that it really might make sense, but it's a subtle mistake. Yeah.
What's so terrible about the animals?
But he said not to.
So okay, so let's examine the animals, and maybe that will help us with Agag. The way the pasuk says it in the Torah is that you have to wipe out Amalek completely. That's what it says. You have to absolutely destroy. Do you want to hand me a chumash, please? I'm sorry. Thank you very much. So it says in regard to Amalek in the mitzvah in the Torah that you have to absolutely utterly destroy Amalek. So, kimacho emche es zecher Amalek mitachas hashamayim. I will absolutely, utterly wipe out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens. So, now I will absolutely wipe it out. Now, I'm just looking for a specific Rashi. So you have to. Hashem says, "I'm going to utterly and totally wipe them out."
Isn't that midrash that says the people could turn into sheep?
Yeah, they were going to get to that.
Okay.
So it says, "Timcha es zecher Amalek." You should wipe out the remembrance of Amalek. Now Hashem says, "I will wipe out Amalek." Kimacho emcha es zecher Amalek. I will wipe out Amalek. That's what it says in Beshalach. And then in Parashas Kisetei, there's a mitzvah, Timcha es Zecher Amalek, you, the people, you, the Jews, should wipe out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens. Lo tishkach, don't forget. It's an interesting thing. Wipe out the remembrance of Amalek. How do you wipe out the remembrance of Amalek? That means there's nothing to remind anybody of Amalek anymore. Lo tishkach, don't forget.
Could you remind yourself when you read the...
Okay, but I'm saying there's a mitzvah not to forget to wipe out Amalek to the point where there's nothing to remember them by.
Right.
Okay, says Rashi, Me'ish ad Isha, from man to woman, Me'olel v'ad Yonik, from young, from child to infant, Mishor v'ad Seh, from ox until sheep. He's quoting from Shmuel. Shelo yehishem Amalek nizkar, that the name of Amalek should not be remembered. Afilu al ha-behema, even on an animal, lomar to say, behema zu mishel Amalek haisa. This animal is from Amalek. Absolutely, totally, utterly wiped it out. There should be not a trace of Amalek left on the face of the earth. You'll excuse me for the analogy, but what Hitler wanted to do to us is exactly what Hashem tells us to do to Amalek. There should be nothing left. Zero. Nothing. Nothing. Not a grave. Nothing. Absolutely, totally, utterly wiped them out. Now, when you have a mitzvah to wipe them out, so Shaul clearly understands that you can wipe them out in a manner in which something good could come of it besides the wiping them out, meaning that wiping out an entire nation and everything they own is, I'm going to use a word which is not really what I mean, but it gets the gist across. It's wasteful.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have all this,
mm-hmm.
all this resource, and you just utterly and totally destroy it. Now, we have a mitzvah to do that with an ir hanidachas, of an entire city, Jewish, God forbid, becomes idolatrous, yeah. And certain conditions are met, we have a mitzvah to absolutely and totally and utterly wipe out the city, including the possessions, get burned, get destroyed. So there is such a precedent in the Torah for in other situations. But so Amalek is to be absolutely totally wiped out. Shaul understands that, at least as far as the animals go, if they really are really beautiful animals that are perfect for sacrifices for karbanos, and it's not contradictory. I mean, I'm going to kill them, but why should I kill them wantonly on the field and just leave the carcasses to rot? Why don't I bring them back and bring a karban? I'll bring a sacrifice, and they're going to be dead. I'm going to kill them. but it'll be a sacrifice to Hashem. So Shaul evidently understands that although it's true, everything must go, everything must be killed, but it's not that everything has to be killed in a way where there is nothing gained, nothing positive from the destruction. The destruction can be done in a way where there is something out of it that has some value. That was a mistake. Now, how much of a mistake is that? Is it technically fulfilling the mitzvah? I would think it's technically fulfilling the mitzvah to kill the animals. What difference does it make if you kill it on the field and let the birds of prey eat the bones eat the flesh off the dead carcass, or whether you take it back to Carmel and slaughter it as a sacrifice? I mean, it's dead anyway. So it's not something which is so obviously wrong, but it was wrong. So what's wrong about that? Apparently, the destruction of Amalek is meant to be one where there is nothing gained, where Amalek is utterly and totally destroyed in a way where no one gains anything from them, nothing. Why would that be? Why should it be that Amalek should be wiped out in a manner where you don't gain anything? What's wrong with gaining something? Why don't we take the best animals, slaughter them, feed the meat to the poor people? Well, you have a lot of poor people have nothing to eat. So why can't we at least feed the meat to the poor people? No. Wipe them out. It's a waste. You're going to kill them anyway. So why should I kill it in a way where there's nothing gained? So apparently, it's not just wipe them out. It's we need to show in the manner that we wipe them out that there's nothing good about them. There's nothing good about Amalek. Nothing. Their very existence is in itself an undermining of God's plan, and they have nothing good about them. That's a very tough message for today's day and age. Very tough message. It wasn't that long ago, but that was a very easy message for a lot of different people in the world about a lot of other people in the world. But in our day and age, the world has gone 180 on that, and it's very hard to say that. If you say that you're branded a racist and a bigot and whatever you want to call it, right? That's what you're branded. But we believe it about Amalek. I once heard a talk from, I can picture his face and I can't remember his name. I'll remember hopefully in a minute. But I once heard a talk, there's an Eretz Yisrael, and he said that wiping out Amalek is something which we don't, it's a very difficult mitzvah, because to say there's nothing positive, what we like to hear is there's a bad character trait, a bad habit, a bad this, but it should be directed properly. It should be reformed in a way where it can be used well, where you have someone who's bad, but the person should be able to use their strengths in a way that benefits humanity. We are told about Amalek, there is no benefit to humanity. Nothing. They do not have any benefit. And therefore, the purpose of the mitzvah is wipe them out in a manner where nothing is gained. Nothing at all. And as I said, that's not an easy message for us, because the way we have been brought up in our culture, etc., It's we don't like to hear that. It makes Jews especially feel very uncomfortable, because then we're accused of being hypocritical, because we blame the Nazis and Mach Shmam, their name should be wiped out, for what they did to us, and we're turning around and saying we have to do that to Amalek. And it's true that they did it is evil, that they did it to us, that's evil, that we do it to Amalek is a mitzvah, it's good, and that is what we believe. Very difficult mitzvah for us to believe. Even more difficult to perform. I mentioned this to you last week that we want Mashiach to come, and we accept upon ourselves that when He comes, we want to do all the mitzvahs of Hashem. This is included, and other mitzvahs as well that might not sit so well with us. We got to work through that. The mitzvahs of the Torah are not meant to be necessarily ones that we enjoy doing. Hope some of them are enjoyable, not all of them, and some of them make a lot of sense. And some of them, we're not so sure why they make sense. Na'aseh v'nishma means we will do it even though we don't understand. And even though, not just we don't understand, even though it's not just it doesn't make sense to us, it seems evil, it seems bad, it seems wrong, it seems counterproductive, counterintuitive, it seems like how could a just God command such a thing? But we accept that also. Everything. And this is one of those things. We wipe out Amalek in a manner where there is nothing gained because there's nothing good about Amalek. Nothing. Zero. There's no benefit to mankind. Nothing. They are nothing but evil. And therefore, the only thing that can be done about Amalek is to wipe them out. Shaul makes this mistake, obviously. Now, we have to talk about why he made the mistake, but he makes this mistake. And it's a subtle mistake because he's still wiping them out. It's just that he's wiping them out in a way that there's something positive. Now, Agag, he brings back Agag. He doesn't say what he's going to do with him, just as he brought him back. So, what does that mean, that he brought him back? For what? So we already had a suggestion that perhaps he brought him back to make an example out of him, that this is going to be the final death of Amalek. It's going to be done in front of all the Jews and wiped out. Given the way that he treated the animals, what would be a way of applying that same mistake with Agag?
He's going to kill him, and it'll be... He's not sacrificing him on the altar, but he's going to kill him to show Hashem that he did it, or make a big ceremony of it.
Here, let me give you an example. It'll become clear when I say the example. Excuse me 1 minute.
What does that mean?
The Jews sinned at the golden calf. Terrible sin. Terrible sin. Moshe is still up on the mountain. Moshe is one of the only two people in all of the Jewish people who did not actually sin with the golden calf. Yehoshua didn't either. The rest of the Jews either performed it or didn't stop it. Okay. Moshe is up there on the mountain. Hashem says to him, the Jews, they've sinned. They've made themselves a golden calf. And now leave me alone, Hashem says to Moshe, and I'll wipe the Jews out. Now when he says leave me alone, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu understood. Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, am I holding on to him to stop him? Like, what does that mean, leave me alone? Well, what does that mean? I can't stop. So evidently Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, if you don't leave me alone, I won't wipe them out. Which is why Moshe died for us, and that's why we're here today. Okay. Leave me alone, I'll wipe them out. Now, there's a problem with wiping them out.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a promise to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that their descendants will get the land of Israel, etc. I'll wipe them out and I'll make you into a nation. Right? Moshe says, I don't want that. If they couldn't stand with three legs, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, how's it going to stand with just me? Forget it. I don't want that. I want you to preserve these people. I'll wipe them out. I'll leave you. What about Yehoshua? He didn't sin. So what? He's part of the people. If the people get wiped out, Yehoshua also has to get wiped out. He's part of the people. Isn't Moshe also part of the people? Or is Moshe the king? Hashem says, I'll wipe them out, and you will be the new Jewish people. They'll come from you. The king represents the people. If the people are a failure, the people get wiped out, and then you take the king and you start a new people to correct what the old people did wrong. There are certain people in this world who believe that about the Jewish people and religion, which we reject categorically. But you see that that is what Hashem was saying to Moshe. It is possible that Shaul understood in the same vein that wiping out Amalek doesn't mean that there's nothing good about them. It means Amalek is a failure. But you've got to correct the wrong. If there's bad in the world, you don't just destroy it. You also have to somehow correct it. You have to somehow make it good. So the Torah says, wipe out Amalek. You can't make them good. You can't reform the people. I accept it, says Shaul. I accept that. But there's got to be some way of a tikkun, of a correction for Amalek. What's the correction? We have Agag. Agag is the king of the people. We wipe out the people. And Agag is the new Amalek. The new and improved Amalek.
Oh, no.
The new, improved, and righteous Amalek who could serve Hashem properly. It's not a mitzvah to wipe them out because there's nothing good about them. It's that they failed, and they failed in a way that they can't come back. They went over the cliff. They went beyond the brink. They got to be destroyed. Okay, that's fine. But now we got to correct it. What's the best way to correct it? To correct it with the king producing a new Amalek. I don't know if I'm right or wrong about this explanation. I'm not sure. I think it fits.
Mm-hmm.
If it does fit, it would mean that not only was the king preserved, but the king was given the opportunity to create offspring. Because that would be the whole point of preserving the king, to create a new Amalek who will now serve Hashem properly, to make up for the old Amalek that was an utter failure. The mistake that Shaul is making, as we pointed out, is that's not what the intent of the mitzvah is. Now, let's be honest. If we were there, we might have made the same mistake. The only reason why we know that it's a mistake is because Shaul made it and got punished for it, and now we know he was wrong. But the mitzvah is that there is nothing good about them. And I want to emphasize to you, you have to be honest with yourself. I don't believe there's anybody in this room who that sits well with. I think that it's a very difficult thing for us to sit well with. You understand? I just want to say it again. I know we're being recorded, which makes it much more hard to say. But I just want to say it again. We are being told that the Nazis' idea of what they wanted to do to the Jewish people is not a bad idea when you're talking about Amalek. There's nothing good about them. Or if you want to say it in a worse way, in a way that, you know, that evokes all kinds of, the only good Amalek is a dead Amalek. I mean, that's what we're saying. And it does not sit well with any of us. Because we're Americans. Because we grew up in, you know, it doesn't sit well when we have the history of the Holocaust to deal with. But that's the mitzvah. Shaul didn't understand it that way. He understood it as, they failed. They have to die. Just like anybody who does a terrible sin. Amalek did a terrible sin. They have to be killed out. They did terrible things. Even the babies. But it's not that they're hopeless. It's that they got to be replaced by the new Amalek. And that will be the king, Agag, who will produce that. Well, I mean, he was wrong. But what I'm saying is it's much more subtle than just, he didn't listen. He thinks he listened. He really thinks he listened. He's not deluding himself. He believes, I did exactly what the Torah said to do. I did it. And even after Shmuel tells him, you didn't, he says, but I did. What do you mean? I did. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with this picture? I did it. Yeah.
What his interpretation is not consistent with wiping out the memory of Amalek, which Shmuel doesn't tell him, but he knows the Torah and
yes.
He knows that it was in the Torah. So let's say his reasoning was correct. It would still allow for the possibility of people remembering Amalek. That people would still be called Amalek.
Okay.
And if there's a good Amalek.
Okay, but could it be interpreted as the memory of
the old bad Amalek?
Yes, yes. There should be nothing left from the big bad Amalek.
The other question I have is, if this is the right interpretation, then could this be viewed as an example of trying to add to a mitzvah, add to the Torah? Nobody told him he needed to sort of beautify this mitzvah. It's like, could this be viewed as being analogous to taking two estrogen, you know?
Yeah.
Taking the lulav
five directions. Okay, conceptually it could be viewed that way. Not really. Meaning there are specific parameters to when one violates that halakha of Baal Tosef of adding on. Adding on, which is prohibition in the Torah, is specific to when there is a specific number and you add on to that number with the same item. Like adding another one of the, you have four species is what you're supposed to pick up. You pick up a fifth one also. Tefillin has four boxes. You add a fifth box. Tzitzis has four corners, you make a fifth corner and add, you know, that, it's specifically like that. But so you're pointing out that conceptually,
right,
it's a similar idea.
So you might say, not to belabor this point, that the mitzvah was to have zero amaleki remaining, and instead we've got zero plus one.
Okay. But as I said, I'm not sure.
That doesn't quite fit, though.
Right, right. Yeah.
It always has bothered me that in Tanakh it says to wipe out the memory, but the fact that it's written in Tanakh means it will be perpetually
yes.
So can you explain that to me?
No, I said it was pointing out when I read it before, from the Torah. Like, don't forget to wipe out the memory.
So you will always remember
right,
it because
right,
we read it,
so,
and you have to be there
right, so
to hear it,
so it seems,
you normally wouldn't be.
So it seems that it's to wipe out any physical object that will remind anybody about Amalek. That's what it seems.
But if then it doesn't go with memory. Because if
right,
you're not supposed to remember...
Not supposed to have anything that will remind. I see...
I understand.
Yeah, you're pointing out the catch-22 that even after Amalek is wiped out, those psukim will be there.
Yes. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not going to magically disappear. Right. I have had that trouble...
They will.
Well, I don't think so. I've had this issue for a very long time, and the only way I can resolve it is to say that when it says to wipe out the memory, it doesn't mean literally no one should remember. It means there should be nothing, no physical object that reminds about Amalek. Yeah.
One has to realize that, you know, in the whole Tanakh, you know, we're people of chesed and rachamim, so, you know, we always try to find redeeming value in somebody. Hashem gives us a path tshuva. And I was listening to Nimrod or Pharaoh. Hashem always gives an opportunity to sound to a tshuva, whether Jew or not. But you have to understand, the Malak, it's something genetic. It's something in their DNA. So there's a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that. Even though it's very hard to understand the psukim, men, women, children, animals, there's no redeeming quality. This is someone who did not fear HaKadosh Baruch. This one, after all the nisim of the Yom Suf and the Ten Makos and everything in Mitzrayim, he had no fear of Hashem. He came and attacked Klaisel, you know, when they were weak. So there's no redeeming value you should even look for in someone like that. And that's why Hashem commanded it.
Okay, we understand that is correct, but. That we understand now that there is a subtlety here that is not so simple, and that Shaul understood it a different way.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
Okay, now, Pasuk Chafav, let's keep going over here. 21. Okay. So Shaul continues. He says, I did what I was supposed to do. I wiped out Amalek, and I brought back Agag, and I wiped out Amalek. Vayikach ha'am et meha shalol. And the nation took from the spoils, tzonu v'akar, sheep and cattle, reishis hacherim, the best, the choicest of the bounty of the booty, lizboach la'Hashem elokecha ba'Gilgal, to sacrifice to Hashem your God in Gilgal. So, what's the problem? Vayomer Shmuel said, and these next two psukim are often quoted. Hachefetz v'Hashem ba'olos uzvachim. Does Hashem care for sacrifices? Kishmoa b'kol Hashem, as he cares about listening to the voice of Hashem. Hine shemoa mizevach tov. Behold, listening is better than sacrifices. Lehakshiv, again, to listen is better, mechelev elim, from the fat of the rams, meaning of the best sacrifices. Ki chatas kesem meri, for meri means rebellion, is a chatas kesem, is a sin of idolatry. Rebellion against Hashem is no different than idolatry itself. The oven usrafim haftar, and rejecting Hashem haftar is like, again, idols. It's like paganism. Meaning, when you reject Hashem, ultimately, that's the same as idolatry. You are saying that Hashem is not really in charge. Yan ma'asas devar Hashem, because you have rejected, you've rejected the word of Hashem. Vayim ascha mimelech, he has rejected you from being king. So Shmuel now tells him, you will no longer be king. Now Shaul understands. Vayomer Shaul al Shmuel chatasi. Shaul says to Shmuel, I sinned. Ki avarti es pi Hashem v'es devaracha. For I transgressed the word of Hashem and your word. Ki yareisi es ha'am, for I feared the nation, vo'eshma bikolam, and I listened to their voice. So Shaul here now tells us the real root of his sin. This is not Shaul hiding behind an excuse. He's saying, I sinned. I understand it. I did wrong. What did I do wrong? I listened. I feared the nation, and I listened to their voice. Now, there is a medrash here, which Rashi quotes, that says, when it says, I feared the nation, I feared one person who is as great as the whole nation, and that person is Doeg Ha'adomi. Is the first time that we have a reference to Doeg Ha'adomi, who we will find later, who is himself a great man, who will unfortunately fall to incredible depths. He will be one of the very few who loses his chelek in Olam Haba, he loses his portion in the world to come because of what he does. But Doeg was a very powerful person and a very well-respected person, and also a great Talmud Chacham. He is also a very tragic figure. And he, when it says, I feared the nation, I feared Doeg. Doeg was the one who interpreted the mitzvah in this manner, and I feared him, which means I accepted his interpretation, and I was afraid to argue with him, and I also listened to the nation. The nation wanted, they had pity on the animals, and I listened to them. Shaul is telling us that who really wanted these animals? Who were really the ones who couldn't accept that there is nothing good about Amalek? There's nothing positive that can possibly come from them. It's the people. And the people wanted that. And Doeg, who was one of the great leaders of the people, pushed for that. Says Shaul, and I did not act like a king. A king has to be able to say, this is the way it is, and I can take some advice from the people, but at the end of the day, I make the decision, the people don't make the decision. Says Shaul, I allowed the people to dictate policy. I was afraid of the people, specifically Doeg, but of the people, and I listened to the people. What Shaul is saying is, that, and again, this is not an excuse. He's not excusing himself. He's saying what he did wrong. And we are going to take it at face value. This is what he did wrong. What he's saying is, it's not that I couldn't accept the word of Hashem as that there is nothing good about Amalek. Personally, I could have accepted that. And I really, deep down, knew that that was the nature of the mitzvah. And therefore, there's no place to bring back the animals. And there's no place to bring back Agav. I really knew that deep, deep down. But because of my fear of the people, I allowed their interpretation to become my interpretation. Again, I want to point out to you, when Shaul says, I fulfilled the word of Hashem, he really believed it, which means he accepted the wrong interpretation of the mitzvah. He accepted it. But now that Shaul has had an epiphany, he realizes he was wrong. Shmuel telling him, you've lost the kingship. That's it, you're done. Shaul now sees the reality and he digs deep, and Shaul is able to say, I get it. I understand what I did wrong. I really understood the mitzvah correctly before, but then because I feared the people, and that was wrong, to fear the people, I allowed their interpretation or what they wanted to be the interpretation to affect me. And therefore, I did wrong. I sinned. Ve'ata, 25, Chafei, and now, Sona Efchatasi, carry my sin, meaning, help me carry my sin.
Forgive.
What then?
Forgive.
Ve'shuvi me, and return with me, Ve'eshtachavel Hashem, and I'll bow down to Hashem. I've sinned, I accept it, I've sinned, and now help me correct it. Help me, with my mistake. I made a mistake, and a mistake needs to be corrected. And Shmuel, I'm asking you to come with me and let me bow to Hashem in your presence so that I can correct my sin. Vayomer Shmuel Oshmol, Shmuel says to Shaul, Lo Ashuvimach, I will not return with you. Ki ma'aftas tvar Hashem, for you have rejected the word of Hashem. Vayim Oscha Hashem, and Hashem has rejected you, Miyos Melech al Yisrael, from being king over Yisrael. What does that have to do with anything? What is it? What does that mean? Shaul says, come back with me and let me bow to Hashem so that I can correct my wrong. Shmuel says, I will not, because Hashem has rejected you. You told me that already. I got it. You told me. Why does he have to repeat it? Hashem rejected you from being king.
So if you do teshuva, then maybe, if he does teshuva, then maybe Hashem will change his decree.
Okay, so Shmuel is saying, don't think that anything you do now is going to change. Hashem has rejected you, and you cannot change that. Vayisov Shmuel aleches, Shmuel turned to go. Vayachazek bichnas me'ilo, and he grabbed on to the edge of his cloak, vayikara, and he tore it. Now there is a machlokas, there's a difference of opinion, who tore whose cloak. The simple meaning is that Shaul tore Shmuel's cloak. Shmuel turned to go. Shmuel says, I'm not going back with you. And he turned around, Shaul said, no, and he grabbed his cloak, and the cloak tore. But the Medrash says that it was the other way around. Shmuel turned to go, and as he's turning to go, he grabs Shaul's cloak, and he tears it. And he says to him, there's Kriya, right? It's like death. You're done. But he's also alluding to him that the one who will tear your cloak will be the one who will replace you as king. And we will find later there'll be an episode of David tearing the cloak of Shaul. Okay. Vayomer Elav Shmuel, and Shmuel said to him, Kara Hashem, Hashem has torn. This is, as we find frequently, especially in Yechezkel we saw this, that a Navi will do a physical deed which will reflect the future. Hashem has torn as mamluchus Yisrael me'alecha hayom, the kingdom of Yisrael from upon you today. Unisana, and he has given it to l'reyacha, to your friend, hatov mimecha, who's better than you. That's pretty painful. Let me ask you something. The analogy of having torn the kingship from him, does that suggest a seamless transition? Or does that suggest some violence? Right? Mm-hmm. He's torn it from you. That doesn't mean it's going to go smoothly now. Mm-hmm. There's something that's not going to go nicely. To tear it from him. V'gam Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker v'lo yinachem. And also, the Netzach, which means the eternity of Yisrael, the eternity of Yisrael is Hashem. He is the eternity of Yisrael. Will not lie and will not change his mind. Lo Adam Hu Lihinachim. He is not a man to change his mind. He's made a decision. You're done. Shaul then says to Shmuel, Vayomer, he says, Chatasi, I sinned. Atanel, Kabdenina. Honor me. Neged Ziknei Ami v'neged Yisrael. In front of the elders of my nation, in front of the Jews. V'shuvi mi, and return with me. V'ishtachavesi l'Hashem elokecha, and I'll bow to Hashem your God. Vayosham Shmuel acharei Shaul. Shmuel turned after Shaul, Vayishtachu Shaul Hashem, and Shaul bows to Hashem. What changed? I thought Shmuel said he's not going to go back with him. And now, Shaul asks him a second time, and Shmuel says, what is anything? He says, alright, he goes with him.
The elders. He brings up the elders this time.
Okay, he does bring up the elders. What else changed?
It's a different kind of, and he already has accepted. And he understands that he's not going to have the kingdom to be able to change anything. He's just doing it to
okay.
So he won't be there. You know.
Shaul said, "I sinned. Now I want to right the wrong." Shmuel says to him, "You can't change the decree. You're done. You cannot be king anymore. You followed the people a second time after the first time with the grace of the sacrifice. A king can't follow the people. Therefore, you're done. It can't be changed. Hashem will not change his mind." Shaul says, I sinned. Now come with me in front of the Jews, in front of the elders, and let me bow to Hashem. And Shmuel says, okay, now we can do it. Now that this is not a question of reversing the decree, this is simply a question of doing teshuvah. You did a sin, you got to do teshuvah. It doesn't make a difference if Hashem's taking away the kingship from you. You still got to do teshuvah. Mm-hmm. So you want to do teshuvah, I'm with you. I'm with you for teshuvah, Shaul. I get it. You want to do teshuva, and I support that, and I'm with you for that, and I will go with you to bow to Hashem. Just because Hashem has now torn the kingship from you doesn't mean that you should not do teshuva. more than that, just because it's going to be a rocky road, there's going to be some real upheaval amongst the Jewish people because the kingship is being torn from you, I can still make sure that you're respected amongst the people. Because for the time being, you're still king. You mm-hmm. are the king right now. And as long as you are the king, yes, I will go with you. Yes, I will bow. Yes, I will help you right the wrong in whatever way you can. But it's not going to change the decree. The decree is there's going to be major upheaval and there will be a new king. Yeah?
When they say about tshuva, they always go to Melech David and they say, listen to the way he took rebuke and did tshuva. What's wrong with the way he's doing it? Why aren't we looking at him as an example?
At this point, it is good. What he's doing here is good tshuva.
Then why are they always saying he's looking at David?
Because with David, he did it faster. With David, as we'll see over there, he realizes his wrong immediately. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
even though he also did not have a guilty conscience. In his mind, he did nothing wrong. Okay. And when the Navi comes to him, he's able to reverse immediately and realizes he did wrong. Now, last thing we have to understand for tonight, but we're not done yet. We're going to finish the Perek Mitzvah Hashem. But next week, we still have more loose ends to clear up. But we still have one more thing we have to clear up for tonight. Vayomer Shmuel said, Hagishu elai et Agag melech Amalek, bring to me Agag, the king of Amalek. Vayelech elav Agag ma'adanos. Agag, the ma'adanos, means he was the a pleasure seeker. That's what ma'adanos means. Agag, the pleasure seeker. Vayomer Agag said, Achein sar mar hamavis. It would seem that the bitterness of death has turned towards me. Agag knows he's finished now. If Shmuel is calling for him, Agag knows he's done.
So that means moved away.
No, Rashi learns it means towards me.
Oh, okay.
Vayomer Shmuel, and Shmuel said, Kasher shikla nashim charbecha, just as your sword has caused women to be without their husbands. Now, that doesn't mean to kill the husbands. It means to castrate the husbands, which is what the Amalekim would do to the Jewish people. So just as your sword caused women, because shikul really means not to have children. So your sword has caused women to now be childless. Kein tishkal minashim imecha. So your mother will be childless. You caused women to be childless. Your mother will be childless.
Mother's already dead.
His mother.
Where is his mother?
Dead.
His mother is dead. Okay, good question. Vayishasev Shmuel es Agag lifnei Hashem ba'Gilgal. And Shmuel was mishasev, means he killed, Agag in front of Hashem in the Gilgal. I'm going to come back to that word in a moment. I just want to read the next two verses. Vayelech Shmuel haramasa. Shmuel went to Ramas, which is where he lived. V'shol ala al beis al givas shol. Shol went up to his house in the valley of Shol. V'lo yasav Shmuel liro says Shol ad yomoso. Shmuel no longer saw Shol till the day he died. Ki yis'abel Shmuel al Shol. For Shmuel was mourning over Shol. Because Hashem nicham and Hashem had changed his mind. Ki imlicha Shol al Yisrael. He regretted. Excuse me, Hashem regretted having made Shaul king over the Jews. What does the word Vayishasef mean? What did Shmuel do to Agag? He cut him into four parts.
Wow.
A gruesome way of killing him.
Isn't like the carbon though? Don't you cut that into four
parts? No, carbon is slaughtered at the neck. Afterwards, it's
and then you cut it up.
Not four parts, into several parts, depending on the animal, what the size, But he cut him into four parts.
Why did we see this?
Why?
So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says he cut him into four parts.
Why
did Shmuel do that? Why did Shmuel do this? And had what's happening over here? Shmuel has said to Shmuel, come with me, let me bow to Hashem. Yes. Shmuel says, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And he turns to go. And he says, Hashem has torn the kingdom from you. Now, if Shmuel would have left, then what about Agag? Mm-hmm. Apparently, he wasn't going to kill Agag. Then, Shaul says, come back with me. And Shmuel says, okay, you want to do Teshuvah? It's not about getting the kingdom back. I'll come with you. So he comes with him. Then he bows, Shaul bows, and then Shmuel says, bring me Agag. Now we're going to take care of Agag. And he slices him into four parts.
You mean slowly?
I don't know. He slices him into four. He kills him by slicing him into four parts.
Oh wow!
So well, what? I understand. What was he going to do with Agag before? Before, Shaul had not done teshuva, and Shaul says, "I sinned." Shmuel wants to make it clear, you're not going to get the kingdom back. Shaul says, I understand that. I still want to do teshuva. Shmuel says, you still want to do teshuva? Okay, I'm going to help you do teshuva now. Now we're going to take care of Agag. Had Shaul not done teshuva, then Shmuel would not have killed Agag because leaving Agag alive was Shaul's mistake. Well, if you're not doing teshuva, we're not going to right the wrong. But now you're doing teshuva, bring me Agag. Now we're going to start the process of rebuilding. We're going to start the process of correcting the wrong. We can't wipe out Amalek anymore. The time to do that has passed. We've lost the opportunity. Why have we lost the opportunity? It's not clear why the opportunity was lost. It is clear that not too much later, in Tanakh, there's a whole nation of Amalek. They regenerate very quickly. So it's not clear whether it was too late because they'd already gotten away. As the Medrash says, some of the animals were actually people who, using witchcraft, turned themselves into animals and they got away. Or whether Agag had a child, it seems that he did, because Haman comes from Agag, and that woman who became pregnant from Agag was now gone and they couldn't find her anymore. I don't know. Or whether Hashem said, it's too late. It's too late. There was a time to do it, and now you're going to have to wait for the next opportunity, and this is no longer an opportunity. Just like we find that when the first war happened with Amalek and Yahushua beat Amalek, he did not kill out Amalek. Rashi says over there, that was means that Hashem told him, you may not kill out Amalek right now. Now is not the time. There's a specific time to do it, and in Yahushua's time was not the time. And here, Shaul missed the opportunity, it's too late, and they're going to regenerate themselves. But, says Shmuel, but we're going to right the wrong. Bring me Agag. And we're not just going to kill Agag. The mistake was showing mercy. The mistake was believing there's something good that come out of them. Having the nation had mercy, had pity on these beautiful animals that could be used for good. You wanted to keep Agag to regenerate the nation. That pity is now going to be offset by an incredible cruelty. An incredible, horrific way of killing somebody. Because we're going to show there's no room for mercy with Amalek. Nothing. You've got to attack Amalek without any mercy at all. They all must go. And therefore, he slices him into four parts. Who benefits from that? Obviously, now Agag is dead. So that does right the wrong to some extent, but it doesn't help. Now Amalek's going to regenerate. But what it means is that the next time the opportunity comes up to wipe out Amalek, which will be Mirtz Hashem with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the new king, Mashiach, speedily and in our days, we will know Vayeshaseif Shmuel as Agag. Shmuel sliced Agag into four parts. Leave the Rachmanis at home. You can't take it with you when you go to fight Amalek. You gotta have Rachmanis any other time. We Jews are naturally Rachmanim. That's one of our major character traits. We are merciful. But Hashem demands of us that you've got to leave it at home when you fight with Amalek. Shmuel sliced them into four parts. Yeah.
What did Shmuel do with the animals?
It doesn't say over here what they did with them. But it, there's no need to say it. So they killed them. And whatever they did with them, they did. You know, saying the writing of the wrong was particularly Agag. Now we still have a couple of loose ends to tie up. One is going to be about the altar that Shaul built, and also about the road that Hashem sent them on. There are a few different issues that we have to cover with Hashem next week.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.